You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, June 11th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, it is a little bit of a special one, because for me, hosting this podcast since back in January of 2020, this is my 300th episode hosting the Locked On Orioles podcast. And to celebrate 300 episodes, we're going to open up the mailbag here on today's episode and answer two mailbag questions from our listeners. And then at the end of the pod, also going to preview the three-game weekend series between the Orioles and the Rays, as the O's will head to the Trop for the first time here in 2021. It's just the second series of the year against Tampa as we sit here in mid-June, kind of an odd scheduling quirk. Not as odd as the fact that the Orioles won't even play the Blue Jays for the first time this season until next week, but that is a whole nother thing. But we've got two mailbag questions to answer, one about potential trade packages for the Orioles and one about one of the O's minor league managers. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the app and join me every week to get in on the action and talk about the Orioles over at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So it is a Mailbag Friday edition of the podcast here on episode number 300 of yours truly as the host here on Locked On Orioles, and wanted to answer two mailbag questions here today. And the first one we are going to answer today comes from a listener on Twitter at TXTGab9 who asks, if you received the same exact trade offer for Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes, who are you trading, with health and slumps all factored into your decision? And now, I think if you asked literally anyone right now what they would do, if you're offered the exact same package, you know, say, who could it be? Maybe it's the White Sox who are looking for outfielders. They come up and they offer the Orioles a package of players, and they say, we will take either Cedric Mullins or Austin Hayes for this package of players. You pick one and send them to us, and we will give you these prospects. You know, this is assuming it is a pretty fair package for either of the guys, a good group of prospects for either one. Who would you trade? And I think anyone right now would immediately say, well, I would trade Austin Hayes. But, you know, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Hayes is on the injured list and Mullins is killing it currently as the Orioles' starting center fielder and leadoff hitter and probably all-star here in 2021. But did want to dig a little bit deeper because, you know, I know they are two center fielders who have been kind of packaged together for a while for the Orioles, as, you know, one of them being the, you know, successor to Adam Jones. And, you know, they were kind of both packaged together as maybe that option for a while, but did want to dig a little bit deeper into Vincent's question. And so first you kind of look at, you know, what these two guys look like as in terms of their contracts, you know, how long they could be Orioles, how long they've been in the bigs and what their stats have been like and their injury history as well. And you start with Austin Hayes because obviously the issue for Hayes has been staying healthy. You know, we saw Austin Hayes all the way back in 2017. If you remember, you know, he came up as a 21-year-old and played 20 games for the Orioles at the end of that 2017 season. You know, it wasn't great. He hit .217 in 63 plate appearances, did have a homer, had three doubles, but, you know, overall was not very good at all at the plate in that time, did make some nice defensive plays. And then, you know, we didn't see him in 2018. You know, he was really bouncing around, but mostly was in Bowie and Norfolk. But, you know, between rehab assignments and other things, he actually played at every level for the Orioles in between 2018 and 2019 in the minors. But you go back to 2019, and again, you know, really small sample size. We get 21 games of Austin Hayes, 75 plate appearances, but this time the offense was really, really good. He hit .309, .373 on base. He had four homers, six doubles, 13 RBIs. He was great in those 21 games in 2019, which basically put him in a spot to be the starting center fielder, everyday guy to start the season in 2020. Because if you remember, Mullins was coming off a 2019 year where he was really bad, started the season in the majors, ended the season in Double A. So You know, after Austin Hayes kind of struggled in the minors in 2018, had some injury issues in the minors and didn't make it to the majors. And then 2019, same kind of thing. You know, it was Cedric Mullins' time to struggle. And it was Austin Hayes' time to come up to the big league level. But he takes the pitch to the ribs in 2020, and you know, he only plays in 33 of the 60 games for the Orioles. Did get a career high 134 plate appearances, hit 279, 328 on base. He was really a league average hitter, had four homers, but you know, we still didn't see a whole lot of him. And you know, so we finally get to this year, and him and Mullins are both killing it in, you know, spring training, and it looks like they're both going to be starting outfielders for the Orioles. And you know, we are 61 games through the season, and we've only seen Austin Hayes in 32 of those 61 games. Now, we've seen him for 137 plate appearances, so basically for Hayes, he has played basically the same amount through 60 games this year as he played through 60 games last year, both because of injury issues. And this year he's been a little worse. You know, average is down to 252, on base down at 319. Now his OPS plus and his, you know, more deeper numbers are a little better because the power has been better. He has hit five home runs instead of four, six doubles instead of two. He has two triples as well. He's also drawn more walks, 10 versus the eight last year, has struck out a couple more times, 27 versus 25. Overall has been a little bit of a better hitter this year, but again, has had the injuries, the multiple lower body injuries. Now, you know, he is currently on a rehab assignment in AAA Norfolk and could join the Orioles maybe next week, but that's the big thing. You have to talk with Austin Hayes. He is 25 years old. He's about to turn 26. Actually, July 5th is his birthday when he will turn 26 years old. He will be arbitration eligible starting in the 2023 season, and he will be a free agent after the 2025 season. So, you know, you look at these guys, and that's the same thing for Mullins. You know, arbitration 2023, free agent after 2025. So, you know, you look at these guys, and you know, they're easy to compare because, you know, Hayes is about to turn 26. Mullins is 26. He'll be 27 in October. You know, they're around the same age. They play the same position. They came up to the big leagues around the same time. You know, they'll be arbitration eligible and be free agents at the same time. You know, their service time is almost equal at this point. So that's how you compare the guys. And, you know, you look at Austin Hayes, the issue is, you know, the injuries. He's been a fairly solid player at the big leagues when he's healthy. Now, Mullins, on the other side, it's kind of a different story. You know, it hasn't been as much of an injury issue. It's been a consistency issue for him. You know, we first saw him in 2018. He played 45 games. You know, he came up and actually moved Adam Jones over to right field at the end of that 2018 season when Mullins came up as a 23-year-old. He played in 45 games, 191 plate appearances, hit 235 with a 312 on base, four homers, nine doubles. Looked pretty solid. And so, you know, the plan was Adam Jones was gone and Cedric Mullins, your opening day starting fielder and starting center fielder, I should say, in 2019. And as we know, it was a disaster. 22 games, 74 plate appearances. He was hitting .094. He was just 6-for-64 at the plate. Down he went to AAA Norfolk. Down he went to AA Bowie, where he finished the season. He looked like he was toast. And, you know, the Orioles give him another chance in 2020. He goes down to the alternate site after starting 2020. Awful again. And he comes back and recovers in 48 games. You know, he hits .271 with a .315 on base. And now we look at him in 2021 through 61 games, 264 plate appearances. He is, you know, leading the American League in hits and, you know, is hitting .323. And he looks like an all-star here in 2021. And, you know, we know the biggest change he made was dropping switch hitting. And he is a full-time left-handed hitter now. And so this is the only sample size we have for him of being a full-time left-handed hitter. So, you know, maybe that is, you know, a reason to maybe take away from or not look at the inconsistency. But, you know, the big negative for Hayes is the injuries. The big negative for Mullins is the inconsistency. Now, when you break it down, you know, if you're going to give the base running ability, I'm going to give it to Mullins. If you're going to give the defense as far as, you know, range, I'm going to give it to Mullins. Throwing arm, big time, give it to Hayes. He's got a cannon out there. And so basically overall defensively, I would put them fairly equal, maybe even give the edge to Hayes just because he does cover ground well in center as well. And he's got that great arm at the plate. You know, power, obviously I'm going to give it to Austin Hayes. Overall hitter, it feels like at this point this year, you got to give the edge to Mullins. So it's actually closer than you think, really, when you break it all down. And, you know, it's really interesting to try and make this decision. Hayes, you know, was a third-round pick in 2016. Mullins was a little deeper draft pick. He was 13th round in 2015, so the Orioles invested a little bit more in Austin Hayes as well. That obviously has to, you know, go into this conversation, obviously. And, you know, it's really, really tough. But I think the reason, and it's not because of just Mullins being hotter and Hayes being hurt right now. I think if, you know, the White Sox gave the same package or one team gave the same package, I would trade Hayes. And I think it comes down to these injuries are becoming a real problem. And although the Cedric Mullins inconsistency does scare me, this is the first time we've seen him be a purely left-handed hitter, and look how good he has been. And you know, this is over a 60-game sample size at this point. You know, I think, you know, obviously it was bad in the past, and, you know, it got really bad in 2019, but if this is all we have to go off of when he's just been a lefty and not a switch hitter, you got to take this at face value. And I think it would be really, really close. It's closer than you would think. You know, most people would just say, oh, we're keeping Mullins. Obviously, look what he's doing. But I think it's a lot closer than that. But I think I would keep Mullins and would trade Hayes if that was the scenario. But coming up next, we will answer our second of two mailbag questions today. It has to do with one of the Orioles minor league managers, Buck Britton, and what his future could potentially be with the Orioles. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get back to the mailbag questions in just a second, but first, got to tell you about Sports Trade. Now, I've been talking a lot about it lately, and if you haven't heard, it's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's no wonder this company's blowing up. The site really is amazing. I frankly can't believe nobody else has thought of this concept before. Sports Trade truly takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. It's a fair and super exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so you can check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade, it's pretty simple. Players' values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their performance in each game, and two, good old supply and demand. You can instantly buy and sell shares as many players as you want. And just like the stock market, you can then watch your players battle and watch your portfolio value rise. So sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. I really think you'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action at sportstrade.com. So we're back here on a Mailbag Friday episode of the podcast, and the second of two questions we're going to answer on today's pod actually comes from listener Vincent, who actually sent in a few questions that we'll get to on a next mailbag. Thank you, Vincent, but going to answer just one of them on today's episode. And his question is, do you think that Buck Britton has a chance to ever be the big league skipper for the Orioles, or do you think some other big league club may offer a big league contract for him to be a coach? He's just been so great down on the farm and would love to see him get promoted at some point. And, you know, with that last note, Vincent, I definitely agree. I mean, Buck Britton deserves a promotion. And, you know, at some point, you know, maybe even next year, you know, we could see him potentially as the Norfolk Tides manager in 2022 if, you know, he does not get poached by another organization for a better job. But before we kind of get into, you know, what the potential for him to be the big league manager, you know, Brandon Hyde status, all that kind of stuff, I feel like there's maybe a lot of people who don't quite know the story of Buck Britton. So I wanted to take a chance to tell a little bit about Buck Britton here on this episode. First of all, he is very young to be a AA manager. He is currently the manager of the AA Bowie Bay Sox, who, as I talk to you here on a Thursday evening, their Thursday game has not been finished yet. But either way, Bowie has been absolutely fantastic so far this year. They, for the first time Wednesday night, scored less than 3 runs in a game, and they are 22-8 through 30 games in 2021. Now, Buck Britton's first year as the Bowie manager was in 2019. He spent the entire season as the AA manager for the Orioles, was set to manage the Bay Sox again in 2020 before the minor league season was canceled. And of course, in 2019, the Bay Sox started 7-23 before Britton helped to turn them around, and they got all the way to the Eastern League Finals in the 2019 minor league playoffs and had a fantastic season, of course, with that incredible pitching staff, most of which is either in Norfolk or has already been in the big leagues with Baltimore at this point. But for Buck Britton, you know, he's pretty young at this point. He just turned 35 on May 16th, a native of Panorama City, California, and of course is the older brother of former Orioles reliever Zach Britton, who of course is now with the New York Yankees. Now, Buck Britton was actually a draft pick by the Orioles before they drafted his brother, Zach Britton. Now, Buck Britton played 1 year of Division I baseball at Stephen F. Austin down in Texas as kind of a utility guy and had a solid year, but then ended up transferring to Lon Morris College the next year. So in 2006, I should say, he played at Stephen F. Austin. 2007, he transferred to Lon Morris College in Jacksonville, Texas, which surprisingly enough is actually closed now. It no longer operates. But he played at that junior college, which allowed him to be drafted after those couple of seasons there. And in 2008, he was drafted in the 35th round by the Baltimore Orioles. They took him with the 1,046th overall pick in the 2008 MLB draft. And, you know, they took him, you know, he was still kind of a utility guy. Now, his main position was second base, but he had the ability to kind of play all over the diamond, infield and outfield as well. And he went to the Bluefield Orioles in 2008. Back then, the Orioles actually had an affiliate in the Appalachian League in rookie ball. And, you know, he played all of 2008 after the draft there. He hit .289 with a .372 on base in 47 games. Had a pretty good start. So Orioles promoted him to low A Aberdeen, short season single A in 2009. And he really bounced around in 2009 in the Orioles system. He actually played at four different levels at the Orioles system in 2009. He had 17 games at Aberdeen, 3 games at Delmarva, 13 games at Frederick, and 1 game at Bowie that year. And, you know, did have a little bit of an injury issue, so wasn't healthy all the time, but he did bounce around and play at all those levels. Then in 2010, he basically stuck at High A Frederick. He was 24 years old that year, and he played 99 games. Was a pretty big part of that lineup. Had over 350 plate appearances that year. Hit .260 with 5 home runs, 16 doubles, 48 RBIs, .314 on base, .679 OPS. Had a solid year for Frederick, and then did kind of play 5 fill-in games at the AAA Norfolk level that year as well. Then in 2011 with the Orioles, he spent 25 games in Frederick. He was just killing the baseball, was hitting .341 with a .400 on base through 25 games. So he got his promotion to Double A Bowie, and he played the final 82 games of that season in Bowie and had a great year in Bowie. Hit .282, .338 on base. He had 19 doubles. He had a really, really good 2011 season with the Orioles. Come 2012, he spent that entire year in Double A Bowie and was honestly really good again. 99 games in Bowie. Hit .294, .357 on base, a career high 23 doubles, and things were really looking up for Buck Britton. You know, he got a few more games at the end of 2012 in AAA Norfolk, and, you know, it looked like he was poised to get closer and closer to the big leagues. 2013 comes along, and he splits the year basically. 61 games in AA Bowie, 62 games at AAA Norfolk, and he hit around, you know, .270 with a .320 on base, and, you know, had a pretty solid year all around, combined for 13 homers, but just was never able to break through to the big league. Same thing in 2014. He basically split the time, 61 games in Bowie, 59 games in AAA Norfolk in 2014. Again, the numbers were pretty solid offensively, combined for 15 homers, 26 doubles, but just couldn't break through onto the 40-man roster or into the big leagues. And, you know, the Orioles ended up releasing him. You know, his 7 years in the organization were up after 2014. He was not on the 40-man, and they let him go. He signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers on a minor league deal for the 2015 season. He played that entire year in AAA Oklahoma City with the Dodgers, 117 games, hit .262, 7 homers, 14 doubles, but could not break through with the Dodgers. They did not re-sign him. Then the Twins signed him to a minor league contract for the 2016 season, and he played 73 games with the Rochester Red Wings, the Twins' AAA affiliate. And, you know, that's when the numbers finally kind of took a dip. He hit just .194 at the plate with a .240 on base, had just 3 homers, and that was it for him. You know, he played most of that 2016 season in AAA with Minnesota, but again, just could not break through to the big leagues. Has so many games in his career logged at the AA level, 304 AA games, 319 AAA games, has more than 1,000 at-bats at each of those levels, but just could never break through to the big leagues. So at that point, he made his way back to the Orioles system. And after, you know, kind of calling it quits as a player after the 2016 season, the Orioles hired him in 2017 to become a coach with the Delmarva Shorebirds. And he worked as one of the coaches in the dugout in 2017 with Delmarva, did a great job, and the Orioles promoted him to be the Shorebirds manager for the 2018 season. So he worked there in 2018, did a great job, and was able to skip a level, and all of a sudden, he was named Bowie manager for the 2019 season. And we talked about how well he did as the manager. He would have been Bowie manager in 2020. He is, again, Bowie manager here in 2021. And I think a lot of people are talking about Buck Britton. You know, again, he is still young. He is still very young, as I talked about, as he just turned 35 in May. But many are talking about, you know, he could be potentially the next Orioles big league manager. I mean, it could happen. There was a story written by John Mioli in the Baltimore Sun from 2020. From around this time last year, talking with Buck Britton about his 2019 season in Bowie and you know what he did over the winter. He actually went down to the Dominican Winter League where he had played five or six different winters while he was a minor league player. And he actually went down there as a coach. One of the assistant coaches was supposed to be working under Jace Tingler, who was a manager down there. And 10 games into the Dominican Winter League season in the 2019 to 2020 winter, Jace Tingler was hired by the Padres as their manager. So he left after 10 games, and all of a sudden, Buck Britton, at 33 years old, becomes the manager of a Dominican Winter League team who he actually led to the playoffs. He then got fired before the playoffs, which is something that happens. There's a lot of turnover in the Dominican Winter League. They take it very seriously, and you know, anybody can get fired or canned at any moment. But you know, he talked about that experience being huge for his managerial experience, including the 2019 season and Bowie as well. And now, you know, things are going great with, you know, he's helped by the fact that he has Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, Adley Rutschman, and others on this 2021 Bowie team. But the players seem to love him. He gets a lot of development out of these guys at the AA level. The Orioles have trusted him to be the manager, really, of their most important minor league team over the last few years. You know, 2019 had all those guys on that team who have now, a lot of them, been in the big leagues. And this year, 2021, all the Orioles' best prospects seemingly are in Bowie. And they have trusted, you know, a 33 and now this time 35-year-old Buck Britton to, you know, lead that group. And again, he will always have that Orioles connection because he was drafted by the team. He played seven seasons as a player in the system, and now, you know, he has spent, you know, this will be his fifth year as a coach in the system, plus his brother Zach spending all those years as a player in the Orioles system as well. He's just so connected to, you know, this system, and it's awesome that he was kept around. You know, he was hired by the Dan Duquette regime back in 2017 to be the you know, Orioles assistant coach in Delmarva. He was drafted by the previous regime. You know, he was drafted by the McPhail regime and then hired by the Duquette regime and then kept on by the Elias regime. So, you know, something's got to be going right that these three different groups continue to bring Buck Britton back into the organization. And so, you know, I wanted to get through his whole, you know, career before really answering the question from Vincent, which is, you know, can he potentially be the Orioles' next manager at the big league level? And to be honest with you, I think he can. I mean, you know, Brandon Hyde, I think, has done a nice job. You know, Brandon Hyde has not been given a lot of talent so far in his 3 years as Orioles manager. We know he hasn't gotten a lot of wins, but, you know, he took over this team in 2019. His team's been terrible the entire time he's been managing it. The talent on the roster has been terrible. I think Brandon Hyde has done a nice job of getting a lot out of his players, especially I think we saw that in the 2020 season when the Orioles basically way overperformed the projections all year last year. And, you know, I think the players like Brandon Hyde. He stands up for his players. Think he's a good manager to have. And I think Brandon Hyde could be the manager. Definitely has a good chance to be the manager of the next good Orioles team, obviously because he holds the job now. And as long as he holds the job down, he should have it when there's the next good Orioles team. But if things, you know, don't work out with Brandon Hyde at some point, you know, we don't know. This is his first managerial job. And if it doesn't work out with Brandon Hyde at some point down the line and Buck Britton is still in the organization, that's got to be one of the first interviews the Orioles make if they do make a change. And to kind of answer the other part of the question, I do think the Orioles could be in danger of losing Buck Britton to another organization. Now, I don't think another organization is going to hire him to be a big league manager, but I could see another organization coming in next year and, you know, guaranteeing him a AAA manager spot or maybe giving him an MLB coach spot, you know, with better pay even. And that's something that could happen because of how good Britton has been. But I just feel like with the three different regimes keeping him on and giving him so much to do, you know, just in his 30s still, that, you know, I really do think that the Orioles will do anything to keep him. And I do think they trust Brandon Hyde. I think Brandon Hyde will be the manager of the next good Orioles team. But if that doesn't work out, I do think Buck Britton could be the first guy they interview. And I wouldn't put it, you know, out of the question at all. Even though he is only 35, would not put it out of the question of him being potentially the next manager for the Baltimore Orioles. A lot of people like him. I like him. Think he's a great guy to have in the organization. But for now, of course, it is Brandon Hyde managing a major league team that is, again, not having a great season. 22-39 for the Orioles. Next up, they go to the Trop. They will play the Rays for three games this weekend. And when we come back, quick little preview of that three-game series against the Rays. That's coming up after this break. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. This is the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All of the nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. So go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, just $1 and free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. So the next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew and check it out at fullyloadedchew.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar and their 9 delicious flavors of protein bars. Now, they got the flavors like cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. Now, we do want to know, though, what is your favorite? Now, maybe you've tried them all and you've picked. If not, though, you can go to BuiltBar.com and you can get a mixed box where they will send you 2 of each of the 9 flavors, and then certainly you'll be able to pick out your favorite one. And here's the best thing about Built Bar. They are delicious. All 9 flavors are great, but they're good for you as well. It's still a protein bar that is good for you. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So you can go get that raspberry, the mint brownie, or whatever you might like. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So our thanks again to everyone who sent in mailbag questions for this week. If we didn't get to your question, we will get to it on a future mailbag episode. If you are listening and would like to send in questions of your own, you can tweet at us either at Locked On Orioles, the podcast account, or my Twitter account at Connor Newcomb _. You can DM either account as well. The DMs are open. Or you can email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com, and we will get to your mailbag questions on future mailbag episodes, usually at least once every 2 weeks. We will open up the mailbag here on Locked On Orioles, sometimes every week as well. But before we finish things out, did want to quickly preview the upcoming weekend series of the Orioles after having the off day yesterday after they split the 2 games with the Mets. 3 games at the Trop between the Orioles and the Rays. And in true Rays fashion, they have not named a starter yet for either Saturday or Sunday. Neither have the Orioles at the time of this recording here Thursday evening, but we have somewhat of an idea of what the starters could look like for the O's. We do know what it's going to look like on Friday for tonight's game. It is a 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time start at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. For the Orioles, it will be the left-hander Keegan Aiken who will get the start in this one. The 26-year-old lefty will be making his 7th appearance of the year for the Orioles, and he has been pretty solid lately for the O's. His last 2 starts have each gone pretty well. His last one was last Friday against Cleveland. He tossed 5 scoreless innings in that one, allowing just 3 hits. He struck out 4 and walked just 1. And then 2 starts ago against Chicago, he went 4 2/3, allowing 1 run on 5 hits, striking out 4 and walking 2 against the White Sox. So Keegan Aiken, you know, looking to continue to improve. He's still throwing a whole lot of fastballs, but, you know, he's got the changeup, and his slider's been working fairly well. And, you know, through the season is 20 innings, 18 strikeouts, Aiken with a 3.60 ERA through 6 appearances so far this year. And, you know, so far he is at least keeping himself in the Orioles starting rotation at the moment. Going Friday for the Rays will be the 29-year-old left-hander Ryan Yarbrough. He will make his 13th appearance of the year for the Rays. He has a 3.95 ERA with 53 strikeouts in 66 innings so far this year for Tampa. Yarbrough's last start was, you could say, maybe the best of his career. His last time out on June 3rd, he threw the first complete game thrown by a Tampa Bay Rays pitcher in 5 years. He went the full 9 innings, allowing 2 runs on 6 hits, striking out 6, walking none at Yankee Stadium against the New York Yankees. And that was coming off of a start where he had only gone 4 1/3 against the Phillies his last time out before that. But he really did definitely pull it together for that last start. And again, it was the first Rays complete game since 2016. Now, starters are not named for Saturday or Sunday at this moment for either team. Saturday is a afternoon game, 4:10 Eastern time start, and then Sunday is a 1:10 p.m. Eastern time start between the Orioles and the Rays at the Trop. Now, if we do look back to their last series, this is just the second series of the year between the Orioles and the Rays. The first one was May 18th through the 20th at Camden Yards, a 3-game series in which the Rays won all three. It was actually the start of the Orioles' 14-game losing streak. Those were the first 3 games they lost in the losing streak, and quite frankly, none of those games went well for the Orioles. They lost 13-6 in Game 1, 9-7 in Game 2, and 10-1 in Game 3. Remember the one that really hurt was Game 2. That was actually my first appearance at Camden Yards this season. The Orioles had a 5-0 lead after 4 innings. They gave up 3 in the 5th, 3 in the 7th, 3 in the 8th, and lost that game 9-7. Ryan Yarbrough actually pitched that game, and the Orioles got to him. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, but 6 runs total on 7 hits, 2 Ks, 2 walks. Orioles tagged him for 3 home runs that day. Remember, Trey Mancini hit a couple of them, and Freddie Galvis got one as well. So they've had success against Yarbrough in the one appearance against him so far this season. Now, looking at the Saturday game, the Orioles have not named a starter because, you know, this would have been John Means' spot actually coming up in the rotation here. But, of course, he is on the injured list with a little bit of shoulder discomfort. So the Orioles, you know, with the 2 off days they had this week, remember, they had an off day Monday and an off day Thursday, they actually don't have to send anyone on short rest or replace anyone in the rotation. Now, you know, they're still considering maybe a bullpen game, but if they just keep guys on regular rest, it would be Jorge Lopez's start in the Saturday game. Of course, his last time out was Sunday against Cleveland in the Orioles' 18-5 win. He went 5 innings, allowing 3 runs on 4 hits, struck out 2, walked 3, did give up a home run in the game for Lopez, who has been fairly decent recently. The 28-year-old right-hander now has a 5.30 ERA and 54 strikeouts in 56 innings this season, and he has gone at least 5 in his last 3 starts as far as innings go, which have been, that's been a real, real struggle for him so far this season. So looks like it could be him going on Saturday for the Orioles. For the Rays, if they stick with the rotation they'd be going with, it would be the 25-year-old left-hander Josh Fleming who would be getting the start in the game on Saturday. Fleming coming off his last start against the Texas Rangers. That was back last Friday. He allowed 5 runs on 10 hits over 7 innings, 2 strikeouts, no walks, and a home run allowed in what was a 5-4 win for Texas. But Fleming overall has been solid this year. He's got a 3.44 ERA this season through now 52 1/3 innings. And if Fleming does pitch, it would actually be his first career appearance against the Baltimore Orioles. Not really a flamethrower from the right side, not a huge strikeout guy who tries to get you to hit the ball on the ground. Then you look at Sunday. Again, the Orioles haven't named a starter, but if it is Jorge Lopez Saturday, the rotation would continue, and that would make it Bruce Zimmerman's day to start on Sunday. Remember, he started back on Tuesday against the Mets, and Bruce had another really, really good start against New York on Tuesday night. Gave up the 2-run homer in the first inning to Pete Alonso, but that was all he allowed. Went 5 innings, allowing 2 runs on 2 hits, 7 Ks, and 2 walks. He's now had 3 straight starts of at least 5 innings and at least 6 strikeouts, and he now has a 4.83 ERA and 50 strikeouts in 54 innings. It would be Zimmerman's 12th appearance of the year. And then when you look on the Rays side, If they do keep things on schedule, they would be turning things over to Rich Hill, it looks like, on Sunday. The veteran left-hander, 41 years old, who was the AL Pitcher of the Month in May, coming off another good start he had against the Texas Rangers last Saturday, went five scoreless innings, allowed just two hits, struck out three, and walked one. Hill now with a 3.05 ERA on the season for Tampa Bay through 12 starts and 62 innings on the year so far. And remember, Hill has seen the Orioles once already this season. He pitched in game three of the three-game set at Camden Yards in mid-May. He went six innings, allowing one run on two hits, four Ks, four walks, and did allow a home run in that Rays victory. So that's how it looks in the pitching matchups. The only one we know is Aiken versus Yarbrough on Friday, but tried to figure out what it could look like for the rest of the weekend. Of course, the Orioles go in 22-39. They have not lost their last three series, 2-0-1. In their last three series they have played. The Tampa Bay Rays, first place in the AL East, 39-24 on the season so far. They have continued to play some fantastic baseball. They had an unbelievable month of May, and you know, they haven't been as dominant in June. They are so far just 4-4 in the month. They just had a quick little two-game series at the Trop against the Nationals, in which the teams split the two games. The Rays also had Thursday off. So, Orioles and Rays, three-game series this weekend. And then we'll be back with you on Monday here on the pod to recap the three-game weekend series and give you the three big takeaways from the weekend. And then we'll start looking ahead to the Orioles' next series, which starts Monday. They are in Cleveland starting Monday for a four-game set there. We will talk about that next week as well, along with many other things covering the Orioles here on the pod. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And before we go, I just want to thank all of you for listening through it all, as this is episode number 300 for me on Locked On Orioles, and hopefully 300 more are still to come, and hope you're still tuning in here on the pod. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you on Monday.